as creative as the government and the Fed have tried, well, I mean, clearly they failed spectacularly.
Being a Bitcoiner, it has less to do with what percentage of your net worth is in Bitcoin and are you participating in the network?
The lines between what Bitcoin is and what everything else is a grand canyon. Like, you cannot compare these at all. They're totally different.
And it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that we have here to really take our world and overhaul and upgrade it into something we've never known before, something that is, you know, like literally uncorruptible. And yet you always have a bunch of assholes that have to ruin the party for everyone for very immature and selfish reasons just because...
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. I've got Greer and Tony here with me. Gents, let's jump right in. So we're going to hit three pieces of news that are all related. Basically, the economy is dumping. So credit card defaults hit 2008 levels. And this is at a time when stocks are at all-time highs and unemployment is quote-unquote low. So Billy Boone from Simple Mining, great guy, he goes on to say that credit card delinquency rates right now are at 12.3% during 08. So the peak of the Great Recession, credit card delinquencies peaked at 13%. The point here is people are struggling. And if you look at some of the other data, U.S. has more unemployed people than job openings for the first time since April 2021. So in the midst of COVID, and American companies announced only almost 1,500 new jobs in August, the lowest for the month since 2009. Layoffs surged almost 40%. Guys, this does not look like a healthy economy. People are being crushed. Tony, fiat money, baby. What are you seeing? What do you think about this?
Brace for impact. That's what I see. It's like, there's no more workarounds or creative solutions to sort of, cover this up. Even under quote unquote good times here, you know, the stock market is high and all that stuff, and people are still not able to afford anything because, you know, their rate of debasement is, you know, outpacing everything that they can possibly do. And, you know, as creative as the government and the Fed have tried, well, I mean, clearly they failed spectacularly. So this is really like heartbreaking and horrifying to watch because, you know, at some point it's going to hit like some sort of unsophisticated event, which will, you know, blow the whole thing up. In the same way that WhatsApp incident happened in Lebanon, you know, I'm just waiting to see what that trigger is in the U.S. And the frightening thing about this is it normally almost always turns into violence when people have no answers and they need to blame someone. And so it turns chaotic very fast. I don't see how, you know, you can fix this. Those that are paying attention are obviously, you know, rushing towards hard assets. Our preference has always been, you know, Bitcoin in self-custody because, you know, as far as we can tell, this is the best horse to bet on because no living soul can corrupt or manipulate it. But it does require you to learn a few steps, and those that are, you know, going down that road should be okay. But that's only one piece of the puzzle. If your money's safe, but you're not, because, you know, you happen to be stuck in a place where it's just dangerous, people around you are not okay, well, then you also have a problem to deal with, which is why, you know, the solution to this is twofold: protect the money and protect you. Bitcoin in self-custody, and then get out. Find a jurisdiction that is less likely to experience something like this. And you know, hope for the best and like watch from the sidelines if you're not able to do anything more.
Yeah, I've said many times on the show, and I'll say it again, that I just don't see a scenario where there isn't some level of max pain. I mean, for credit card delinquencies to be hitting near 08 levels is very concerning. I mean, I think people are getting desperate and sort of hanging by a thread. Greer, I've had this thesis of like max pain, probably some social unrest. I hope not, but probably. I'd be curious if you would tend to agree or disagree with that thesis.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think that's probably correct. You know, this is Main Street getting squeezed. You know, the regular people who have been working jobs and living paycheck to paycheck, using their credit cards to make it month to month. You know, the unemployment numbers show you that this is just a tough time if you don't have a job. there are headwinds. You know, there's countless companies that are turning to AI. They're not hiring. You know, we're seeing attrition rates. And I think if you don't have Bitcoin, now is the time to get it. And I realize that that might be tough, you know, with the price sitting at $110,000, but $112,000. But you have to find a way to get out, you know, and live beneath your means if you're not already. From credit card debt, people tapping their 401ks, their home equity. You know, I think Americans are trying to do everything they can to stay solvent. And if you can move to a Bitcoin standard, it makes the picture a lot easier. But, you know, even if the Fed comes in and says, hey, we're going to lower rates, that doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get the relief we're looking for. You know, you're talking about the Fed lowering rates causing higher prices at the store. You know, when you increase the money supply, we saw this during Trump's first term. A lot of the issues we're dealing with now is because of the $4 trillion that was printed during those years. And so there's no easy answer. Everyone knows it. And it's run to the lifeboat time. Anyone with hard assets is going to be okay. But hoping that you'll get a promotion or you'll find a new job, those situations are looking bleak right now. And the fact that it's worse than 2008, but we're not talking about it collectively, it's not in the media. They're hiding the numbers. You know, this will come on quick, and it might not be something we expect.
I tend to agree. Up next, we've got the NASDAQ is set to increase scrutiny of companies with significant crypto holdings. But why, says the Bitcoin Archive. Greer, you had a conspiracy theory as to why this might be the case. And of course, for anyone listening, let's caveat this with we're recording Friday morning. We might have some more information this evening. So when this goes live tomorrow, Saturday, maybe we'll have an answer. But Greer, take it away.
Yeah, go ahead. And, you know, I can be proven wrong on this and it would be fine. But as I think about this, I know that MicroStrategy is listed on NASDAQ. They're looking to get into the S&P 500 today. According to the experts, they've met all the criteria. My question, just as an outside observer, is the NASDAQ running cover for S&P to justify MSTR not being included? If they get included, they have access to lots of capital. It'll be passive inflows. It's a huge milestone for Strategy. You know, they've acquired almost 700,000 Bitcoin. So as, you know, from the sidelines, you could say, hey, maybe they deserve it. But at the same time, there might be powerful forces at work that are working to keep them out. Again, conspiracy, I might be proven wrong here in a couple hours. But, you know, if you want to think critically about it, that's sort of where my brain goes.
Tony, I think this is not even one of the risks that you've talked about, but it's sort of the point you've broadly made the whole time with these treasury companies is there are so many risks, and a lot of people have banked on, well, Strategy is going to be in the S&P 500. It's going to happen because they meet the criteria. And just like Larry Lepard writes about being rug pulled during the 08 crisis when he got everything right, and then they banned short trading and that, all of that stuff. This might just be another attack vector that these treasury companies have to face. So we'll see what happens, but it wouldn't surprise me if you're proven right in yet another domain of risk related to these treasury companies.
Yeah, man. I mean, nothing further to add to this other than stay away from this junk. I mean, this is clearly TradFi trying to keep, you know, the enemy, so to speak, at bay. You know, there's a new world unfolding, you know, and the current one and the new one do not mix. These are all just concoction of over the same garbage. It has nothing to do with Bitcoin. You know, the path to generational wealth and sovereignty couldn't be more simple. You buy the asset itself, you swap your dirty money for real money, you learn how to hold and use it yourself, and you completely and utterly ignore everything about the dollar and the TradFi world. Completely 100%, and you just move away from it. You upgrade your life in its entirety. There's no reason to have one foot here, one foot there. All you're doing is extending the pain, the unnecessary counterparty risk, and just giving yourself, you know, a headache you don't need. So opt out completely. All of this shit show is going to fall apart and explode any day now. I mean, the signs are, they couldn't be more crystal clear than they are.
Alrighty. I think that's the big takeaway is if you don't know exactly what you're doing, you haven't prepared for any number of contingencies and threat vectors. You need to probably just think about staying away from this. Okay, up next, just quick trigger warning for any snowflakes listening. I've got two very controversial accounts on Bitcoin Twitter coming up. The first here is, I don't know how to say his last name, but Justin Beschler. He's a big fan of Bitcoin Knots, and he talks about the narratives that Bitcoin Core has peddled, and he debunks this. The reason we're discussing this, because we have discussed this before, I think all of us are on Team Knots when it comes to sort of the philosophical alignment. We recognize that it doesn't filter out all spam. Spam's still going to get into the blockchain, but some of the lazy slogans he describes. So filtering transactions is censorship. He says, no, it's your node. You know, you reject junk mail at your home, choose not to include books in your library. It's not censorship to, you know, manage your own mempool policy. He says, you're telling people how to use their money. He said, I couldn't care less what you do with your money. Fund Al-Qaeda if you want. Just don't ask me to relay your arbitrary data, non-monetary spam with my node. He says filters don't work, but then he says, why do 99% of transactions fall within the op return limit? If they don't work, why remove them? Bitcoin will be fine with a 1250x increase in op return. He said Bitcoin's fine without it. You can't stop all spam, so remove the filters. He said, my door has a deadbolt, but that doesn't prevent a determined criminal from breaking a window and entering. Should I remove the deadbolt and welcome the attacker in? I'll go through all these because there's just a couple more, but Satoshi did it too. He said, that's a lie. Satoshi's Genesis block was hard-coded. It had a valuable purpose. It anchored the start date. Satoshi never spammed a Bitcoin. Everything is good for Bitcoin. No, it's not. That's a lie. I tend to very much agree with him on that. And he said, there are, you know, obviously many others, but the point is, I think, I've come to appreciate some of the more thoughtful core, premises. And I understand that we are not stopping all spam by running Knots. It's a mempool policy decision. It's not consensus. But I think he makes some compelling points for some of the back and forth that we've seen. Tony, I'll let you chime in on this first and maybe just reiterate our position on all of this, because people are constantly leaving comments and asking us to weigh in on the discussion more.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, we all know technically there's no way to, you know, completely prevent spam from the Bitcoin blockchain, but you can definitely discourage it and make it harder and more expensive to get there. Just because you can, it doesn't mean you should. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, Bitcoin is a pristine monetary ledger. I don't want to see anything else on it. So, and it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that we have here to really take our world and overhaul and upgrade it into something we've never known before, something that is, you know, like literally uncorruptible. And yet, despite this fantastic opportunity, you always have a bunch of assholes that have to ruin the party for everyone for very immature and selfish reasons, just because they can, so to speak. And so hopefully there's a big enough majority that keeps these clowns at bay and, you know, does not, you know, encourage them further to with whatever it is that they had in mind. The lowlifes at Bitcoin Core who tried to pull this off obviously failed. They got called out. The whole thing blew up in their face. Whether they do it or not, they still have the chance to reverse course. I don't know if they're going to do it, but it doesn't matter. The free market has spoken. For me, it's extremely bullish that there's enough eyes out there that have pushed back so strongly against this that now we see Knots going from 1% to wherever it is now, 17 or 18% in a very short period of time. It's all about options and just proves to show that you're not going to kill Bitcoin. As long as enough people care about this, there's always going to be, you know, a different direction to take. Whoever these people are, you know, I don't know what they're thinking. I mean, it's very shameful and disgusting. The real enemy that, you know, we're up against is a very bad one, a very evil one, a very, like, massive one with a lot of resources. There's no time to bicker over this nonsense. I mean, everybody who cares about freedom and a better life should be united in a way, you know, like we've never seen before to get this mission accomplished. So, unfortunately, human nature is what it is, which is why, you know, I fully support that you cannot trust any human being, because given the right circumstances, they will be corruptible, as we clearly see. You have a handful of people now that are doing this nonsense. They got called out. You know, there is an option for now. I want to see more node options out there. Like right now, I have Core and Knots, but I'd love to see, you know, like a dozen more one day, just in case, again, somebody decides to be a clown, down the road, there's always going to be an exit. The free market will always decide, as long as enough people care about Bitcoin, and I'm very bullish on that, you know, we will always have a solution, and we are winning. I mean, this is very good news for me that it's been such a reactive movement towards this.
Absolutely. Waking a lot of people up to the concept of running a node and why it's so important. And we're seeing more and more come online. Greer, you've got your Bitcoin Knots hat on. I'm sure you'd like to weigh in on this as well.
Changes to Bitcoin should be slow. They should be deliberate. They should solve problems that users are having. And they should require consensus. And in my opinion, I think whether you land on either side of the debate, or maybe you just started to learn about it, or maybe you don't care at all, I think we can all agree that the changes have moved too quickly, too definitively, and they need to be stopped, halted, paused, so that there's time for more people to understand and weigh in on this. The fact that Core is pushing ahead with this update, you know, the PR has been merged. It's planned to launch sometime in October, maybe the end of this month. We're not sure. But this is going to be something that I think will be a lasting mark in Bitcoin's history. And picking a side, in my opinion, is important. You should fall on one side or the other. If you're just buying Bitcoin and putting it in self-custody, great. But there are only about 23,000 nodes around the world. We need more people running nodes. I think Tony said correctly, we need more options. But ultimately, Bitcoin should not change quickly, and it should require consensus when it does change. I think a lot of the reaction has come from the other side, the not side, or just anyone who's observing. And we're seeing personal attacks. We're not seeing strong justification for pushing forward with a move. And it's happening too fast. So hopefully we'll see a resolution here that works for everyone. I think that's still possible. But until then, you know, Knots is the alternative that I'm running on my node and encouraging others to do the same.
I agree. And I would just tell everyone, shameless plug, go to the bitcoinway.com/podcast, schedule some time with our team. Everyone needs to be running a node. For me, it's not even being a Bitcoiner. It has less to do with what percentage of your net worth is in Bitcoin and are you participating in the network? And that's what running a node enables and allows. So make sure you are running a node. And just to be clear, we will help our clients set up, run a node, Core, Knots. I would probably discourage version 30, but if you want to run that, we will help you do it. So it's not like we're just picking a side and we refuse to engage otherwise, but run a node, please, everyone. All right, up next, another nice and controversial account, Pledator. He's been in the fight against everything for quite some time. He said, there you have it, the very first Bitcoin treasury company forced to perform a reverse split due to poor price performance. So this is Saquon's. They had to do this or else they would receive another delistment notice from the New York Stock Exchange. Will they become the first company to dump their coins? Again, Tony, you've been right. We've been talking about this, but I'm going to let you weigh in first here, Greer. Give me your thoughts and what you think this might mean for other treasury companies or people looking at investing in treasury companies.
Yeah, hats off to Pledator. He's sort of the immune response to the Bitcoin treasury companies. He's, you know, a nonstop resource investigative person. So I think when he posts things, I pay attention to them because while they might come off as negative to others, he's really helping you. At the end of the day, this is a service he's providing. And in my opinion, you know, these companies, while we can cheer them on because it's more Bitcoin adoption, and I don't fault any company. I think it's great if a company wants to put Bitcoin on their balance sheet. But I think you have to be careful as someone who wants to invest in one of these. You're probably looking for the upside returns. Those are denominated in fiat dollars. So while you might get rich on paper, congratulations, it's not more Bitcoin. Of course, there's a response to that. You can sell and buy Bitcoin with it. Maybe that'll work out for you. I don't know. But I think that proceeding with caution is the best approach. And I would also say, fast forward 10 years from now, the race will not be how many Bitcoin treasury companies did you buy or what was your profit in those. It will likely be how much Bitcoin do you control in self-custody. That's the game. That's the race that we're all running. And anything else, in my opinion, is a distraction.
Man, I wish I had one of those soundboards right now so I could hit like the applause button or something. Tony, what would you add to that?
Yeah, exactly, man. I echo everything Greer said. 99% of people should stay away from this. This is not your game. This is not your world. It's a corrupt game. It's a manipulated game. And if you don't know the ins and outs by heart, you are going to get rug pulled. And chances are you are going to lose absolutely everything. Whatever money you think you're going to make in here, like Greer mentioned, is in dollars. It's not real money. You have got to stop thinking of the dollar as money. It is not. It is worthless paper being debased at an accelerating rate. The objective here is to, you know, acquire as much sound money as possible. And that is Bitcoin and Bitcoin alone in your full self-custody. So unless you're some sophisticated investor that understands this treasury nonsense inside and out, you should pretend it doesn't even exist. Learn how to use Bitcoin. It couldn't get easier than that.
I love it. All right, we got one more from Pledator here. Eric Trump literally claimed today on CNBC that the reason he launched World Liberty Fi was because he was debanked. A few hours later, World Liberty Fi froze Justin Sun's tokens. So we have classic centralized projects doing what centralized projects do. I don't remember. I looked into this a little bit. Don't remember the nature of them freezing or the reason for it. But this is what you can expect from crypto, and it's why we're Bitcoin only. Tony, you've experienced debanking yourself. What would you say to anyone looking at these types of projects?
This post is hilarious because, like, you can't make this up even if you tried. This is the fiat world. This is crypto world. If there's a human behind it, it's worthless. You can't consider it as valuable money because, again, you are dependent on rules that are not controlled by you. So if somebody doesn't like something, they're going to change these rules, you know, on a whim. And if you get caught, you know, in the whirlwind of it, well, you're going to be either debanked or left out, you know, hanging with nothing. So avoid this world. I mean, this entire legacy system, like, I can't reiterate this enough. This entire system has now become optional as of 2008. You do not have to live in it. You can use it only when you strictly need to. Outside of that, you can already step into the future by holding Bitcoin in self-custody, living in that world, encouraging others to learn and adopt it and use it as well. And you can leave all of this junk behind. You're not forced to stay in it. So a lot of people still have to, you know, get that message. And unfortunately, no matter how much we try, whether it's on social media, YouTube, Twitter, whatever it is, the average population is not listening to these messages, sadly. Like, I wish there was this giant microphone you could put out into the world that will just broadcast this message to folks walking down the street in every bloody city across the world so that they at some point clue in, because these guys are the ones who need these answers the most, and they are so far away from them that they are about to get completely obliterated in the same way or similar way to the way my life did in 2019. And that is really something that irks me, because, you know, we're only limited and how far our message goes. And this is why we rely on others to domino these messages, these videos, to continuously push them out, to spread them as far as wide as possible, so that we can reach those poor folks that need these answers. It's not the financially comfortable that benefit from this. It's the one who has nothing and who risks losing even more that needs to be saved.
Tony, I would give my left arm and a Bitcoin for you to have a microphone that you could shout at the world. Greer, what's your thought on this?
This is great. You know, this is like artwork. You know, it's a shame that anyone gets debanked. The answer is not create your own crypto token and then go debank others. I think the answer is when you're in that position, you buy Bitcoin and you become your own bank.
Well said. All righty, guys. Last one here. Back to Justin. So he shared an image. The latest Ethereum co-founder Joseph Lubin says ETH will surge 100x as Wall Street adopts, blah, blah, blah. And of course, just below that, he is retweeting, just in, the Ethereum Foundation announces intent to sell 10,000 ETH worth $43 million. So just at the time that they are planning to, or they're expecting a 100x surge in fiat-denominated price, they are selling, which seems about on brand. Greer, you've got some great apparel coming online for ETH, don't you?
I do have an Ethereum sucks t-shirt, which I just got yesterday. There's so much negative things you could say about these guys. It never ends. It could be a whole show in itself. One point that isn't said a lot, not just that they dump their coins on retail, but a good portion of Ethereum runs on Amazon web servers. And a lot of people aren't familiar with that. But what you're buying into when you buy this, you're buying into a crypto token that lives on Jeff Bezos's computers. Is that decentralized? Is that sovereignty? No, you're still asking permission. And you can, I don't even know where to go with other than that. Like, this is the lines between what Bitcoin is and what everything else is a grand canyon. Like, you cannot compare these at all. They're totally different.
Well said. Tony, anything you'd add to that?
No, nothing much, man, other than the scammers don't even believe their own scams anymore. This guy is dumping his own shitcoin because he clearly doesn't think it has a viable future. You know, unfortunately, all these games, you know, we're going to see a lot more of them. I don't know who's more delusional, those that are bullish on Ethereum or those that are bullish on XRP. It's like you've got like two brainwashed, you know, camps here that are going nowhere and somehow believe that they are the, you know, the end all and be all solution to the world's money problems. It's going to be painful watching, you know, that story unfold. But, you know, people have to learn via their own pain. And there's a lot of it coming, clearly.
Absolutely. Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in. Go check out Greer's shop, shopbirdflip.com. I've got my Bird Flip shirt. I've also got my hat on, so you can see this. Very cool stuff. And if you want to support his Ethereum Sucks campaign, use a discount code TonyIsTheGoat. No, I'm kidding. But go support him. He accepts Bitcoin. And of course, stick around for another minute. You can learn a bit about the Bitcoin way. We'd love to help you take self-custody, run a node. And we hope to chat with you soon. Gents, it's been a blast as always. Look forward to catching up again soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Cheers. Hey there. Thank you for tuning into Bitcoin Banter. Wanted to take a quick minute to remind you to head on over to thebitcoinway.com/podcast to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with a member of our team. It is critical that you take full control of your wealth and we can equip you with the skills needed to take 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin. For our existing clients, we also offer our Bitcoin Bootcamp, where we will conduct quarterly calls with you to reinforce the training we've provided and fill any gaps in your knowledge. While you're at it, ask about our solo mining service, something we think everybody should be doing. We also help with addressing your personal and online cybersecurity, and we can even help you set up a privacy phone free of big tech and Big Brother surveillance. Don't underestimate the amount of tracking taking place in your browser and in the apps you use every day. And finally, whether you're ready to make a move to a freedom-loving paradise or want to back up in the event of a worst-case scenario, be sure to ask about our Plan B residency program. Being untethered from a single location is one of the best ways to ensure your self-sovereignty into the future. Again, you can schedule a free consultation at thebitcoinway.com/podcast. If you are enjoying the show, please do me a favor, subscribe to our channel wherever you listen, give us a 5-star review, and drop us a comment. We would really appreciate it, and it makes it easier for others to begin finding us as we preach the gospel of financial self-sovereignty and beyond. Thank you again for listening. Until next time, stay safe, stay sovereign, and remember, the yield on Bitcoin is freedom.